Thank God that he doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Eli. Last week's sermon, Precious Calling. I greet you in the name of Jesus right here from the Columbia campus in Maryland, as well as Owens Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. What's up, good people? So good to see y'all last week. We're going to see you again soon. And for those of you who are watching online, thanks a lot, whatever country you're in and wherever you are. And also, thank you for the birthday greeting. That's great. May 1st is my birthday, and I turn 87, and so praise the Lord. I'm looking all right for an 87-year-old. Pastor Sergey from Rebirth Church, thank you so much for the work you're doing on the ground right there in Ukraine from Romania. Our teams have been working with pastors on the ground there, and Pastor Sergey is an amazing soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we just started a series a couple of weeks ago called Precious, and I talked about precious community, how we would include everyone who belongs to the body of Christ, and specifically we talked about LGBTQ individuals and their inclusion as well. I just want to thank you as a church and for those of you around the world for your feedback. It was a lot, and I appreciate it, however it came in. Today, we're going to talk about Precious Catch. So you had Precious Community, last week Precious Calling, today Precious Catch, and next week Pastor Eli will be back to close out the series Precious Cargo. And then after that four-week series, we have Mother's Day. And we have our own Minister Lisa Bryson, who's going to be preaching on Mother's Day right here from the Bridgeway stage in Columbia, Maryland. And this just in, my wife, Lady Amber Anderson, is going to preach the Mother's Day message at Owings Mills, Reisterstown, live. So get ready. In fact, she's still getting ready. It's also our fifth anniversary there at Owens Mills, and so we'll give a big shout out to Pastor Dave Michener and Donna Michener as well. We love you there in Owens Mills. Now, before I get started, I have just a couple other opening comments, and that is this. I want to make sure you put on your calendar May 24th. That is going to be our book signing event. It's going to be here in Columbia with our new book, Gracism, The Art of Inclusion, the revised and expanded edition with David Heiliger, and new material as well. So I want to just invite you. That's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. This is a free party, all right? I mean, a free event. There'll be live music. There'll be refreshments. Me and Pastor Dave will speak for a little bit, do some Q&A. Then we're going to sign books. While it's free, we need you to register, so go to bridgeway.cc/events. That way we'll know how much food to get and seats and all that other good stuff. If you have any Gracism swag, that's the time to wear it. If you want to get the book early or swag early, just go to gracismglobal.com and you can get anything you need there. The book is 30% off and free shipping for another week. I think May 9th, you've got about another 8 days before it actually hits the public, and at that point it's full price. Now, having said all that, while Pastor Eli talked about God's call, what happens after God calls you? He does then need to equip you to send you off to do what he has purposed in his mind for you. And that's what today's message, Precious Catch, is all about. Having said that, would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, we pray that your word would go into us. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is a passage that I often teach when we have our partnership meetings. It's the story of Jesus and Peter out in the water trying to fish. I'll read it from the New International Version. I'll pick it up at verse 1, and this is what it says. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Let's stop there. Jesus was on the boat with Peter and pushed out a few feet so that he could teach the crowd. There were two boats. Peter was in one, and Jesus gets into that one, and he says, "Push off a little from shore." Peter thought, I'm sure, that we'll be bringing the boat right back to the shore after Jesus is done teaching. But Jesus had another plan. Be careful when Jesus gets into your boat, because by the time you're done, you'll never be the same. He'll take you into deeper waters where you're not even expecting to have a lesson. And Peter had already been out deep into the water earlier, but he couldn't catch a thing. I can imagine him saying, "Jesus, we already did that. There's nothing out there. They're not biting today, Lord." In fact, I'm sure that's what he said because it says it in the text. But what's the difference now between going out now and having gone out before? One major difference. When Peter went out before, Jesus wasn't with him. And some of you are trying to do things without Jesus on board, and it ain't working. So I want you to try this. Try your business with Jesus and see what happens. Try your employment with Jesus and see what happens. Try your marriage with Jesus and see what happens. Try budgeting your finances with Jesus in mind and find out what happens. Try dating romantically with Jesus. Put that Bible in between you and homeboy. Before he climbs over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he'll be too tired to try anything. Try getting through middle school or high school with Jesus and see what happens. Try attending college with Jesus. Try raising children with Jesus. When you begin to have Jesus in your boat, the things that you were used to doing, the things that you were skilled at doing, the things that you did before will now succeed at another level because now you're doing it with Jesus. Peter was challenged to do something that he had already done before. Jesus asked Peter to do something that he was already familiar with. Can I ask you? What is God asking you to do that you've already done 1,000 times? Is God challenging you to go back one more time? To try something that you have failed at before? And you said, "I'm done. But this time is different." He's directing you. He's supporting you. This time he is with you. Before you were doing it in your own strength. Maybe you were doing it without his blessing. "But pastor, I tried marriage before and it failed." I hear you. But let me ask you this. Did God tell you to marry that person? Or did you want to marry that person so bad that you never even asked God for his direction? You just wanted his blessing. And instead of a precious catch, you find yourself in an unprecious conundrum, an unprecious mess. This is why the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Peter came to the resolve within himself, and he said, you know what, Jesus? Even though I did it before, even though I'm tired and I don't want to do it again, it says in verse 5, because you said so, I will. Because you said so, I will. There are some things that you do just because the Lord said so. Even if you don't understand why, how, what the outcome's gonna be, because the word of the Lord said it, you are willing to obey it. And when you trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. There was a woman by the name of Makisha Pugh who wrote in a testimony that came in to my desk March 16th of this year. She wrote down, she said, I wanted to share my first fruits testimony. Remember at the beginning of the year on January 1st, we gave our first fruits offering. We said, Lord, this is an offering we're giving to you for the rest of the year. We're asking you to bless this year. And we believe that when you gave by faith, whatever it was, and our lowest gift was $1.51, that when you put that seed in the ground and when you gave that offering to the Lord, you were giving it in faith. And I told you there were going to be stories and testimonies all over the place. And there have been. But this is what Makisha Pugh writes. I wanted to share my first fruits testimony. First, I had already been convicted on giving to God first in 2022. So this practical application in your message sealed it for me. And I stepped out on faith to contribute and continue to do so throughout the year. I have been giving the first from my earnings back to God. In doing so, he had revealed that I had more than enough and needed to manage what he had given me much better, which I began working to do. I am one of many that was dreading the restart of student loan repayments. I have $200,000 in debt and was hoping to have enough credit to have maybe 3 years of payments out of 10 remaining because I work for the government and qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. I had recently refinanced my loans, which meant I had to start back at payment one under the original program. Well, I received a letter in December saying I had about 5.5 more years, for which I was thankful because it wasn't the full 10 I would have originally needed to pay. I then received a letter in February saying I had 5 payments. I just checked my email and I received another letter saying my loans were fully forgiven. And I received a refund check for overpayment. Only God could take away a $200,000 debt and give you a check back. She says, God is so good. He had already revealed to me that those restarted payments were covered, but I never expected them to be fully forgiven and paid. Thank you so much for starting this devotion in action with Bridgeway, and I look forward to what my Father has in store for me as I continue to strengthen my relationship with him and trust him fully. Makisha Pugh. Sometimes, because he says so, you do it. You don't realize what God has in store. I don't know how much she gave on January 1st, but I'm going to tell you, it wasn't $200,000. I bet you, even in faith that she was giving it, God had already planned what he was going to do. He was just waiting for her to do what he said. Peter, push out to deeper water. But Lord, I've already done it. They're not biting. Yeah, but because you said so, I'm going to do it. Pick it up at verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Their nets. So they had these nets that they would cast out, big nets that would go down, and then they would pull them in. And when they got to the deeper place, they dropped out the nets. And amazingly, so many fish began to fill the nets that the nets that they were cleaning are now the nets that they're going to need to be repairing, because the nets are breaking. I have a prophetic word for someone. I believe that someone is about to experience a precious catch, a big increase, a large contract, an oversized blessing that you will hardly have the room to receive. And I don't know who that is, but I believe that it's in direct relation to your faith and your first fruits offering that you gave to God. Now, God is about to blow your mind. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but this word was so strong in me when I was writing this verse down in my notes that I literally had to pause. One of my disciplines when I preach is I type out the text from the Bible. I don't copy paste it from the computer, because I want to look at every word in the scripture. Sometimes I have typos, but it helps me to memorize and internalize what the scripture says. But it also puts it on my page so that it's big enough so I can read it. Because my Bible has so many scratches and notes and circles that I've gone through the words, and I'm, you know, so it's easier for me to put it on my paper, but I type each and every word of the scripture to help me internalize it. And I remember when I was writing this verse right here in verse 6, I was overwhelmed in my study at home, because I believe that God was saying to me that there is someone in this place whose mind's about to be blown like Makisha Pugh. I don't know what God's going to do, but there's someone who needs to hear the prophetic word so they'll start believing in faith that their change is about to come. And so I speak that to you. And it says when they pushed out deep into the water, they caught such a large amount of fish that their nets began to what? Break. Caught so many fish, their nets began to break. This gives new meaning to catching a break. And someone's about to catch a break. You gave your first fruits offering, and now you're about to catch a break with a promotion at work. Now you're about to catch a break with a new home. Now you're about to catch a break because God's going to change someone's heart and someone's attitude who's actually been coming after you day after day. And for some of you, you've been needing a break for a long time. And God is telling me to tell you that the break you're actually looking for is too small. That you're limiting God for that break, but God has a big break that you're praying for. You just don't see it yet. God's about to break your nets. Listen, there was someone that I knew was going to be receiving a bonus from their job. And I knew the exact date it was going to fall into their bank account. About a week prior, this person's talking to me and lamenting about how they're having financial problems and how they're going through financial difficulties. And all I could do is listen. All I could do is encourage the person. But I already knew that 10 days from now, something's going to drop in their account that's going to change them. And they're saying, well, maybe I ought to do this. Maybe I ought to refinance that. Maybe I ought to do this. And they have all these musings, and they're sharing with me. And me, as the person who had the inside information, I couldn't tell them that 10 days from now, your whole situation's going to change. And I wonder if God's that way. We pray, we hope, we have faith, and God already knows that 10 days from now, something's about to break. God already knows that a week from now, something's about to break. You've been praying for healing, but you've not gone to the doctor yet. He knows that the doctor's going to tell you that it has already started the reversal process in your body. And so you get all bent up. You get all tied up. You get all tangled up in your emotions. You begin to start making decisions out of your emotions and you get out of faith. God's saying, don't get out of faith. Stay in faith because your help is on the way. Your healing's on the way. Their breakthrough is on the way. I just had knowledge of one person's bonus that was coming. God has all the knowledge to know of what he has already sent in the mail, what he has already put your name on, who he has already planned for you to come in contact with on a certain date that will link up and yoke up with you, that will move you toward your destiny. Stay in faith. Whoever I'm talking to, God is about to break your nets. Who am I talking to? Is there anybody in this place? Is there anybody at the Owens Mills campus that's actually praying for and waiting on a breakthrough? If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet because I'm going to pray for this break. We're going to pray it right across the threshold. Owens Mills, just stand right there, right in the middle. Right on the side, left side, up in the bleachers. Praying for a breakthrough, Columbia. At home, if you're not standing, stand to your feet. You are waiting or praying for a big breakthrough. Can I minister in prayer right now? Oh God, someone needs to catch a break. They need to catch a break in their health. They need to catch a break in their finances, in their business, in personal battles, legal battles, family battles. God, they're asking that you would give them a break, a big break. Lord Jesus, that the breakthrough that you have in store for them, give them faith enough to believe that it's on the way. For those that were about to make a decision that would have taken them off the course of faith, I'm praying, God, that this message just puts them back in line with what you already have planned for them. Lord, we pray that Ukraine would catch a break. We pray, Lord, that you'd break the back of all the evil going on in that part of the world right now. We pray, oh God, that you break the back of those who make the decisions to send weapons of war to kill innocent people. Give Pastor Sergey, give Rebirth Church, give Ukraine, give the Russians, give everybody who's under the pain of war a break in Jesus' name. Give Sudan a break in Jesus' name. Give those around the world who are dealing with disasters a break in Jesus' name. Give the poor and the hungry a break and some bread in Jesus' name. And God, for those under the sound of my voice, I pray that a breakthrough would be their destiny. I pray, God, that whatever it is that they need, that you would provide it in the name of Jesus. I pray that their faith would be strong. I pray that they would trust and obey. I pray that they would do what you say. And I pray, God, that their faith rises even as they have stood to rise in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I pray that as they walk out of this church today, that their faith would have grown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God a hand and you may be seated. We pick it up in verse 7. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. And friends, the reason why I teach this every time we do a partnership gathering is because it says they signaled their partners. You see, they had so much work to do that Peter couldn't do it alone. But he had other partners in another boat that can join in, and together everyone grabs their piece of the net. This is what partnership at Bridgeway is. We don't necessarily call it membership. You pay your dues and you're a member. No, we call it partnership because we want you to grab your piece of the net to help us with the increase. Look, you don't have to catch everything. Just catch your part. You grab your piece of the net over there. I'll grab my piece of the net over here. You get your piece over there, and we're going to be able to handle the increase. But if you don't partner with us, if God is saying now's the time to partner, please do, because there's a piece of the net that only you can hold. And if you don't partner with us and God is saying for you to do so, there's work that we can't do because you're not involved yet. But I need you. And he actually says, come and help. As a pastor, I'm saying to you, come and help. If you're at home and you're near the local church in Columbia or in Owens Mills, yes, you can sit at home and watch this. But come and help. Do something to help us build the kingdom of God. We are changing the world. God is going to use us with or without you. But you got to get in on what God is up to and sitting in your kitchen when you could be in the house of the Lord ain't a part of it. Unless you have to be. I'm not talking about those that have to be. I'm not talking about you who are traveling. I'm not talking about you who can't. I'm talking about you who decided that you were on your way to church, but you felt a little bit of rain and all of a sudden you became a fair weather church attender. You can go through some rain if they can go through the raining down of missiles and bombs to get the church in Ukraine. You worried about rain. That's nothing but bougie-ness. I can't get my hair wet. People got bombs. But they're going to get to the house of the Lord. And you talking about, but I need some more sleep. Throw the snooze away. For some of you, throw the booze away. Get in the house of the Lord. Grab your piece of the net. We need you. Come and help. Can you imagine? Jesus is in the boat with Peter. And they say, hey, come over here and help. And they're in the other boat. Nah, we good. And that's how some people are with church. That's church membership. Nah, we good. We ain't looking for membership. Looking for partnership. You're like, Pastor, what do I need to do to be a partner? Go to Bridgeway and 5 after the service. 5 minutes right over there to your left. Owens Mills right over there to your left. 5 minutes. They'll tell you how to get connected. If you're online, just go to bridgeway.cc/something. Just go throughout the whole internet until you find out what to do at our church. /events/volunteers/connect. Just hit every slash until you find somewhere, someone where you can serve. We have a partnership class, a download, comes May 30th. We have a shape class that helps you figure out what your gifts and how you can serve. That's May the 6th. Where, when, and all that, /something. We need people to serve in Bridge Kids. We need people to serve as ushers. We need people to serve in Bridgeway Student Ministries. Wherever. What's your gift? Come and help. They signaled their partners, and they came and helped. Now, let me tell you something. They received a miracle that day, but more miracles means more work. We all want a miracle, right? Here's the miracle. All the fish, the nets are beginning to break. More miracles means more work. And so while we want God to do miracles, remember, miracles mean work. But God, I want you to heal me. Okay, but more miracles means more work. I'll heal you, but I'm not healing you so you can go back to what you were doing. I'm healing you to give you more work. I'm giving you some more life to give me some more work on the earth before I take you home. Are you with me so far? Then let's go back to the text, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Look at Peter's posture. You know, the proper posture in the presence of holiness is repentance. In the presence of Jesus, there's power. In the presence of Jesus, there's love. In the presence of Jesus, there's holiness. And such holiness, when it's revealed in a moment like this, all you can do is bow down and repent. Say, "God, I'm so sorry. I notice that you're God and I'm not. And we bow down because we realize that we're before the Almighty God. Simon Peter recognized that he was before the one who could literally command the fish to just jump right into the net. Are you kidding me? We were out here before. We couldn't catch a thing. All Jesus had to do is say, now. He had already known what was going to happen. And he probably spoke in fish language. And then they go. He already had it. I mean, you know, he probably could just talk to him. He probably didn't have to say anything. Boom. And they just start jumping it in the net. It's probably exactly what happened with Jonah and the whale. Jonah had all this drama, and finally he jumps overboard. Well, this little fish grew into a big whale. And this big whale, that was his purpose. He had nothing else to do all his life. I wonder what my purpose is. What I'm going to do today. I'll blow some water holes. Woo! And it's all day. That's it. Nothing. That's what he's doing. And all of a sudden, yo, I mean, I don't think God says that, but yo, your day's about to come. Get ready. Okay, God, I'm ready. Stay in faith. Okay, Lord, stand in faith. But wait till I say the word now. Don't go early. Don't go early. Don't go early. Okay, now, prophet, in the water. He's yours. Go get him. I've been waiting for this day. And that whale goes. This is his moment. You can't mess this up. You're about to have filet a prophet. Don't mess this up. And in that moment, right now, boom, he gets him. That was his moment. That was his purpose. And now he has him for 3 days. And I can imagine the whale is just so like the great fish, whatever it was, you know, just so excited. I got him. Day one, it was good. Now he's still going around, but now he's full. He's full. Day two. Day three. Lord says, cough him up. Really, Lord? This is the most fun I had all my life, and now you're telling me I got to get rid of him? Nobody wants to get rid of something that they got, that they like. And now you're telling me, yeah, I don't want to. But because you say so, I will. Forget it. That's too much. It's too much. In this moment, Peter realizes he's in front of the one that could command the fish. And he just fell to his knees. You ever been in one of those moments where you realize Jesus is here? Somebody needs to recognize who Jesus is today. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a preacher, a teacher, a rabbi, a good moral person, a self-help guru. He's not just a religious leader. He's not just a miracle worker. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's God in the flesh. He is the divine embodiment of God the Father. And when Simon Peter realized he was before Jesus, the Son of God, he fell to his knees before him and he repented. Some of you have forgotten that Jesus Christ is the living God, and he's holy, and he's pure, and he's righteous, and he's altogether lovely. But there is no sin and no crooked bent that you can come into the presence of God without him changing, without him influencing. He's God all by himself. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sits high and he looks low, and above him and beside him, there is no other. He is Lord. And when Jesus comes into your boat, you will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Friends, the miracle wasn't about the fish. The miracle was about the fisherman. The miracle wasn't about what he caught. It was about who he caught. Peter was trying to catch fish. Jesus was trying to catch Peter. And in that moment, he caught Peter. The fishermen caught fish that day, but Jesus caught Peter that day. And Jesus wants to catch you. It ain't about the fish. It's about you. It ain't about the miracle. It's about you. You the man, you the woman, you the child, you the minister, you the parent, you the sibling, you the student. Jesus will do a miracle not so you can applaud his magic. He'll do a miracle so that he can catch you. That's the miracle. And if you catch the miracle and not the miracle worker, then you've missed the whole point of it all. And there are a lot of people who are chasing miracles, but they miss the master. They chase miracles and not the miracle worker. Peter saw more than fish that day. He saw Jesus, the Son of God. Picking it up at verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. There it is again. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Here it is. From now on, you will what? You will catch men. He took him from his calling. Now he's moving him toward his purpose. It says in verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. See, God's purpose for Peter was to have him lead and build the first century church, the church upon which we are still worshiping to this day, where men and women would hear the gospel. And this man who was a fisherman of fish is now one who's preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 2. And it says in Acts chapter 2, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, from whom the Lord our God will call. Verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. 3,000 people. He was no longer fishing for fish. He's now fishing for men. He was finally living out his calling. Peter was hooked and he was caught by God. Let me ask you, have you been caught by God? You're God's precious catch. You mean so much to God the Father that he came fishing for you with the net of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Allow yourself to be caught in the net of God's love today. And once you're caught, you're always caught. No one can snatch you out of Jesus' hands. Once he catches you, you're his. Like bad fish, he never throws them back. God will never throw you back into the water. He never says, you know what? This fish is too dirty. She's too smelly. He's too small, too diseased, too useless. No, he cleans you up and then he transforms you. And now you can breathe clean air in a new environment that you've never been in of faith. Now you truly are a fish out of water. You cannot breathe in the water anymore. You may be able to go in for a swim, but once he catches you, he breathes new life into you. You are a new creation. You're breathing the Holy Spirit every day. You can't seem to breathe underwater, but when you come into the presence of God and when you come into this new relationship and this new birth, you're now in a new environment. You have new fresh lungs. God gives you new gifts and a new appetites and new desires. Praise God, because you are new. And now that you're caught, you can't necessarily be in the water and be comfortable in the way you used to be before you were caught. And some of you know what this is like. You go back into the old world and you have to hold your breath. Sometimes it's so bad. But go in, but hold your breath and come back out. You know, there are other things in the water besides fish. There are also snakes. And the Bible likens a snake to Satan, and I need to warn you that the enemy is always seeking whom he may devour, and he was a serpent and a snake in the garden, and the snakes sometimes swim with the fish. Listen, you don't have to be comfortable in the underworld, but you have to be aware. You have evolved. You have changed. God has transformed you, but when you go back, you should not feel comfortable. You got to hold your breath sometimes. When you go back to the club, you have to sometimes hold your breath because it's not like it used to be. When you used to hang out with your unsaved friends, sometimes you got to hold your breath because it's not like it used to be. Sometimes when you go to the bar with your coworkers, you have to hold your breath because it's not like it used to be. You're not as comfortable cursing as much as you used to. Not like you used to. You're not as comfortable getting drunk. You're not as comfortable tripping on drugs. You're not as comfortable living a promiscuous life. Not like you used to, because God caught you. He gave you new lungs. There's a new environment in which you live. And whenever you go back into the old world, you can be there for a bit, but you can't live there because you are no longer of the world. You're just in the world. And if you're comfortable and you can just breathe back in the old waters, then guess what? Maybe you weren't really caught. Maybe you never made it into the net. You were swimming around the net. You were swimming around church. You were swimming around Christianity, but you never got into the net. Jesus is pulling the net up right now, and he wants to know, do you want to be caught? And I'm here to ask you, do you want to be caught? And as I'm bringing this message to a close, I want to make sure that if you want to be caught, then you can say, Jesus, catch me. Close your eyes right now. Just say, Jesus, catch me. Lord, catch me. At Owens Mills, at home, Lord, catch me. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, say, Lord, catch me. God, I don't want to be a fish in water. I want to be a fish out of water. I want you to transform me so I can breathe spiritually. Give me rebirth. Give me new life. Lord, catch me. I ask you in the name of Jesus to save me. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And friends, listen, you can always text Bridgeway to 97000 and say, I got caught today. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. And for those of you that have gone back into the waters and got comfortable, maybe God's calling you out of that today. Because the scripture says he reached down from on high and he took hold of me and he drew me out of deep waters. Some of you have been in some deep waters. And God literally from heaven reached down, and just like he did for some of you today and others of you before, he literally reached down and pulled you out of deep waters. Anybody been pulled out of deep waters? Anybody been caught by Almighty God? Then the only response that you can give is to thank God. Because he picked me up, turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. He healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Sing it with me. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. He healed my heart. Healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. What? I thank God. I thank the Master. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Last time, I thank the Master. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.